Well, here we are, Graduate Sunday. So I am going to change our sermon title this morning. I don't remember what I put in the bulletin, but I'm going to change it to Let's Talk About Love. Let's Taco About Love. Colossians 4, 5, and 6 says, "Walk in wisdom towards outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person." And so, just like tacos, our interactions with one another are supposed to be well seasoned. And then our passage from today comes from 1 Corinthians 13, verses 1 through 13. This is a passage that many of you will have heard before, but maybe in a little bit different context. Chapter 13, verse 1. "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. So now faith, hope, and love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love." Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that as we dive into these words and as we recognize our graduates, that we would recognize that we all are in the midst of transition. That we all are in the midst of you moving and working and creating change in us. We pray that you would help us to see the truth of your word and allow that to direct the change that's occurring in our life, that your power and your word would be molding us and shaping us. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. So let's taco about love. So I got my taco shirt on. You know, want to talk about Jesus? Let us pray. Selisa was nice enough. She got me some taco socks. So we're going taco town today. And in case you missed the significance of why tacos, it's Cinco de Mayo. So why not tacos? So as I said, this is a passage that a lot of you guys are probably pretty familiar with. But most likely, if you've heard it, you heard it at a wedding. This is a passage that's really commonly talked about at weddings, and maybe even to the point where when we hear it begin being read at a wedding, we might even begin to tune out a little bit because we thought, well, I've heard this before. This is that cutesy passage that people read at weddings. And it is. It's a good, it's appropriate passage to read at weddings because it speaks to a type of love that should be in a marriage. But the type of love that it's talking about here is the agape type of love. Agape love is the sacrificial, self-giving love, where the primary concern is the good of someone else. And so, yeah, that most definitely should exist in marriage, but that's not the only context in which it should exist in. Really, this type of love is the type of love that we should be demonstrating to all types of people around us. This is the type of love that Jesus demonstrated when we talk about his sacrificial love on the cross, where he placed the importance of someone else above himself. Sacrificial, self-giving love. And that's why I chose this passage today. For our graduates, as they're making this transition, the passage, you know, concludes with, "When I was a child, I thought like a child, but now I'm growing up." Well, my challenge for all of us this morning is maybe it's time to grow up. Which is, you know, maybe you're thinking, "Well, Drew, Pastor Drew, that's a little bit hypocritical." asking us to grow, but I've said this before, immaturity is a spiritual gift. But what I'm talking about with growing up, this is a spiritual maturity. Growing, becoming more mature in our faith. Paul challenges us here that, you know, that love is the primary focus of this passage. And as such, you know, love is this primary focus of a Christian's life, is seeking to love other people. We all go through these points in our life, and they usually happen around transitional points. And we begin asking questions like, what is the purpose of life? Why are we here? Or, you know, what's the purpose of my life? And this passage adds this necessary meaning to life. Is that the meaning, the purpose for it is to love. To love the people around us. And it gives our lives meaning because we are called specifically to be lovers of people. To be placing others before ourselves. And so when we're struggling in those moments, you know, what is the meaning of my life? This is the answer to that. The answer to our lives, our purpose here, is to be loving the world around us. It's really, you know, when you think about it, it almost seems too simple. And a lot of us are seeking, you know, these grand purposes with our life. But here, Paul is saying, well, this is probably the greatest aspiration that you can have for your life. And it may sound simple until you really begin to break it down. You know, I've heard people read this passage where you can begin replacing the word love with your name. And so you can read the passage, Drew is patient and kind. Drew does not envy or boast. Drew is not arrogant or rude. Drew does not insist on his own way, and so on and so forth. And you can insert your name in that, and you can ask yourself the question, do I live up to that? And it begins to become a little bit more challenging. And so it leads to this other set of questions. Of can I really live up to these expectations? These are pretty high expectations that are placed here in this passage of what love is supposed to look like. And, you know, am I good enough? Do I have what it takes? And this passage fills us with this hope, the beautiful impossibility. What seems seemingly impossible to live up to the hype of what love looks like, to look more like Jesus. And the passage reminds us that as we are transformed from our childlike state into our mature state, that is, the Holy Spirit begins to move and work in our lives, and we are raised up in our faith, that we begin to look more and more like this. That today, yeah, maybe my name can be filled in a couple of those places. But the hope, the dream is that at someday, your name begins to fill into every single one of those places. That Christ moves and works in our lives in such a way that we look more and more like Him. You know, as a Christian, on the surface it seems easy. But then as we live it, we recognize how difficult it can be. In a world that frequently marches to a different tune, that is proclaiming different wisdom than maybe what we're hearing in the church or from the Bible, we wonder, is all of the sacrifice worth it? All of the things that I am maybe seemingly giving up or doing without, is it worth placing others ahead of myself? And the passage here says certainly, that it leaves, that love fills life with this lasting significance. When the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. The Bible tells us that the things of this world, as attractive as they may be, are temporary. Even the most beautiful things are temporary. But what is eternal are the things of God. Love is the way of the Father. God is love. Love does not pass away. It endures. It lasts forever. And so, as love fills our life, it provides our life with necessary meaning. It allows us to believe in the impossible. It gives us this sense of hope, and it adds lasting significance. Really, love redefines what life should look like for us. And so maybe right now you're in one of those transitional moments, one of those moments where it's maybe a little bit easier to redefine yourself and what your life looks like. Maybe you're going somewhere away from home. Maybe for our college graduates, you're transitioning into a new position, a new profession, whatever that might be. Maybe some of you, you're going through transitions that I don't even know about right now. But transitions provide us with opportunity to create change. Why not take advantage of this opportunity to create this change in your life? Love is designed to govern all of the motives of our lives. And so I invite you to examine whether all that you say, you know, and do is governed by love. And if there are things in your life that are not governed by love, remove them. Cast them away. Maybe even go as far as to identify them as the sin that they are and kill it. Paul, in this passage, prioritizes love because he recognizes it as being the wisdom from God in Christ. And it helps us to prioritize things like grace over gifts and showing us that worldly wisdom is childish. And so this is what, you know, Paul, he's... You know, Christ invites us to enter the kingdom as a child. And this is not removing that childlike nature. As Jesus invites us to enter the kingdom as a child, it's with that childlike awe and wonder, the ability to believe in the impossible. When I tell my child something, they have the tendency to believe. It's not removing that. But what it's removing is all of that wisdom of the world, all of that knowledge that the world is trying to impart on you, and to replace it with the knowledge of God, to allow you to be matured in your faith, in order that you might be moved towards looking more and more like Christ. In order that your life can have meaning, that it can move beyond the impossible and have lasting significance. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful that you never stop working in our lives. Day by day, moment by moment, you create opportunities for change. Help us to be bold and to step into that. Father, you are good. We pray that you would help us to believe in that goodness, to grasp hold of it, and to move forward. And we pray these things in your Son's holy name. Amen. I have just a few announcements for you. One of the first announcements I want to share with you, so we have a new baby as part of our extended church family. Her picture is up on the screen there. So this is the daughter of Lorik and Herrick Smith, so Andy and Jeanette's granddaughter, or the niece of Garrett and Amanda. Exciting stuff in our church family. Yes, yeah. So we are next, this coming Wednesday is our last WOW leading into summer. And so if you have not joined us for a WOW yet, this is a great time because there's no commitment. It's just a one-time thing. I believe there are some other announcements. Tommy had an announcement.
All right, Will and I have a few announcements. So piggybacking off of WOW, since it's the last WOW, on Wednesday, the youth group is just going to join the last WOW and do kickball and do all that fun stuff. So we won't have our normal hours, we'll just join WOW. And then after that, so starting the Wednesday after that, for youth group, we are going to change it up a little bit for the summer. And it's, I believe I put it in the bulletin as well, but it's going to be from 6:30 to 8:30, and it's just going to be middle school and high school both at the same time, just to make it a little bit easier for the summer. All right, so that's announcement number one. Are you coming to join?
Okay, so when you walked in this morning, you may have seen these boxes on the tables when you sign in. So as many of you know that us and some other members of Grace and just our community are going to Mexico in June on a missions trip. So one of the things we would like to do on this trip is one of the locations we're going to is a men's rehabilitation center. And these are people recovering from anything and everything. They live above the church. And one of the things we would love to do is just to bless them with maybe a nice new shirt or a tie or just something just to encourage them. And we want to do this intentionally by, like, we're getting their shirt sizes and their names. We want to go purchase these items for them. So what we're asking for is help financially to do that. So these boxes will be out here for the next several weeks. If you feel led to give, please do. You can give here or to Tommy in the church office. Yeah, you can make checks out to the church. And am I missing anything else? Oh, if you have ties in basically like new condition, we will also accept a donation of those just because usually sometimes you buy a tie, you wear it once, and you put it in a closet, and it's never seen again. So it's a good way to pass those on to someone who might get more use out of it. I think that is it. Oh, any excess funds we have in that will just probably go to that rehab center so they can buy anything they need. So any extra funds will still go there as well. So thank you.
Okay, any other announcements? John. Okay.